So
No.
we returned, praising Allah Ta'ala, teaching Allah Sallallahu upon Allah's Messenger, alayhi wasallam. So he said that we will continue and return back to that which we began from the explanation of Usul Sunnah by Imam Al-Humaydi. And we begin this evening from his statement, and whatever has been stated about the Quran and the Hadith, such as the Jews say Allah's hand is tied up, be their hands tied up to the end of the section. So he says here, the author begins to speak regarding the affair of the names and attributes of Allah Ta'ala. And notice how the author began, whatever has been stated by the Quran and the Hadith. This is because this bab, which is the bab of Aqidah and the bab of the Asma' wa Sifat of Allah, is tawqifiyah. It is not open to intellectual free thinking. Rather, you must have a text to substantiate anything you say in this field.
من الصفات ما يتعلق بإثبات صفة اليد لله جل وعلا، فبعد أن ذكر قول الله جل وعلا وقالت اليهود يد الله مغلولة غلت أيديهم، تكملة الآية ولعنوا بما قالوا بل يداه مبسوطتان، فالدلالة في هذه الآية على إثبات صفة اليد في قول الله جل وعلا يد الله، وفي قوله بل يداه مبسوطتان. نعم.
So he mentions in relation to the issue of the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, that which is related to the hand, an affirmation of a hand for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So after mentioning that the Jews say Allah's hand is tied up, be their hands tied up, the completion of the verse is that he mentions rather the two hands of Allah are widely outstretched. So what we get from and arrive at from by way of this verse is affirmation of the attribute of a hand for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Well, the Jews say that the hand of Allah is
قال
tied
وما
up.
أشبه هذا من القرآن والحديث، يعني ما أشبه هذا المعنى في قول الله جل وعلا مثلا والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة والسماوات مطويات بيمينه، فهذه أيضا تدل على صفة اليد لله جل وعلا. قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كذلك المقسطون أي العادلون عند الله على منابر من نور عن يمين الرحمن وكلتا يديه يمين، عن يمين الرحمن وكلتا يديه يمين. فكذلك هذه الأدلة تدل على إثبات صفة اليد لله جل وعلا، لكن لا بد أن نعلم أنه لا يلزم من إثبات الصفات المشابهة ولا أيضا معرفة الكيفية، فإن لله الصفات التي تليق بجماله وجلاله وكماله سبحانه وتعالى، وصفات المخلوق صفات تليق بنقصه وضعفه. نعم.
So after he says that, and the author he mentions, and other than this, from the text that have come indicating or whatever similar to that from the Quran and the Hadith, he says that indicating that there are other texts which prove and establish the hand of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. For example, the statement of Allah of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, that Allah Ta'ala, he will fold up the heavens on the day of judgment and he will shake them. He says similarly, there's the statement of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, that the just people, those who are just, should be on pulpits of light on the day of judgment to the yameen of Allah, and both of the two hands of Allah or yameen, they are yameen. These texts likewise prove and establish the attribute of a hand for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So, but it's a must that we know that affirming this hand of Allah does not necessitate making a likeness for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, nor does it necessitate that we know how Allah's attributes are. He says, but rather, however they are in a manner that is befitting of the majesty of Allah, the beauty of Allah, the perfection of Allah Ta'ala, whereas the hand of the creation, attributes of the creation, are befitting of their weakness and their deficiency and their imperfection.
ثم قال لا نزيد فيه ولا نفسره، لا نزيد فيه، لا نثبت لله جل وعلا من الأسماء والصفات ما لم يثبته لنفسه ولا نفسره أي بخلاف ظاهره، كتفسير الجهمية والمعتزلة الذين صرفوه عن ظاهره. نعم.
After the author, he mentions, and we do not increase in it, nor do we interpret it, meaning that we don't increase in it, meaning that we don't add and affirm for Allah Ta'ala attributes that He has not affirmed for Himself, nor do we interpret it, meaning nor do we explain it away with false interpretations that oppose its apparent meaning, like we find with the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and other than them who deviate in this issue. and explain the attributes of Allah Ta'ala away with false explanations and interpretations.
والقاعدة يا إخوة في هذا أننا إذا كنا نثبت لله ذاتا لا تشبه الذوات فإننا نثبت له سبحانه صفات لا تشبه الصفات، وقد أجمع العلماء فيما ذكره غير واحد من أهل العلم من المحققين من أهل العلم، أجمعوا على أن صفات الباري جل وعلا تجري على ظاهرها، نفهمها على ظاهر ما أخبرنا الله جل وعلا أو أخبرنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع نفي التشبيه، لا بد في الإثبات من نفي التشبيه. والقاعدة في هذا هي قول الله جل وعلا: ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير، ليس كمثله شيء، نفي المماثلة وهو السميع البصير، الإثبات. نعم.
So likewise, the qaida that we have with us in this regard is just as we can affirm for Allah a that, an essence or a self that does not resemble the essence or self of any created being. Similarly, we affirm for Allah attributes that do not resemble the attributes of any created being. And the ulama have reported and transmitted consensus upon this issue that the sifat al-bari, they are not like the sifat of the creation. He says that, so therefore it is incumbent upon us that we take the text that mention the sifat of Allah Ta'ala upon their apparent meaning, but without making tashbih. Because some of the people of innovation say that it is a must that you make tashbih. We say no, that we affirm the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal while negating similarity to Allah Azza wa Jal based upon the verse, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There's nothing at all similar to him, and he is the Samir al-Basir, the all-hearing and the all-seeing. He says, so when you say laysa kamithlihi shay, this is a negation of likenesses for Allah Ta'ala. And when you say who is Samiul Basir, this is the affirmation of these attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وقف عليه القرآن والسنة، وهذا تأكيد أن باب الأسماء والصفات لا نتجاوز فيه الكتاب والسنة، فلا يجوز لإنسان أن يستحسن اسما أو يستحسن صفة فيثبت هذه الصفة أو يثبت هذا الاسم لله جل وعلا، لا نتجاوز القرآن والحديث. نعم.
After the author he mentions, and we did not increase in it nor interpret it. Rather, we stop where the Quran and the Sunnah stopped. The meaning of this is that we stop where the Quran and the Sunnah stopped in the bab of the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, and we not go beyond the kitab of the Sunnah. So it is not for a person to deem a name of Allah to be good or an attribute of Allah to be good. So therefore he makes it up and includes it amongst the asma wa sifat of Allah. Rather, we must stop where the Quran and the Sunnah stopped in this issue.
قال ونقول الرحمن على العرش استوى، فأتى بصفة أخرى وذكر هذه الصفة كما ذكر التي قبلها، لأنه يرد هنا على المعطلة، فذكر هنا صفة الاستواء التي فسرها أهل الضلال بالاستيلاء، والاستواء في لغة العرب لها معان معلومة، منها على وارتفع. ولذلك لما جاء رجل إلى الإمام مالك يشغب فقال الرحمن على العرش استوى، كيف استوى؟ قال له الإمام مالك: وقد طأطأ رأسه وعلته الرحضاء، العرق الشديد. فقال: الاستواء معلوم والكيف مجهول، والإيمان به واجب، والسؤال عنه بدعة. ما معنى الإيمان مع الاستواء معلوم؟ أي معلوم في لغة العرب، معلوم معناه، والكيف لا نعلمه، لأن الله جل وعلا أخبرنا عن صفاته ولم يخبرنا عن كيفياتها. الإيمان به واجب لأن الله أمر بذلك، والسؤال عنه بدعة لأنه لم يفعله الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم، بل كانوا يسلمون لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه الأبواب. نعم.
And we say that the most merciful has risen above the throne. He says that now here he mentions another sifa from the sifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, just as he did the first. That is the sifa of istiwa. In order to make a refutation against the mu'atila, those who negate the sifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because they seek to explain it away by saying al-istila. But from the meanings of al-istiwa, it's not the same as istila. But the meaning of al-istiwa is to rise, to elevate above something. For this reason, Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah, when a man came to him seeking to cause a disturbance and seeking to cause confusion, and he came to Imam Malik and said, "Ar-Rahmanu al-Arsh istawa," that the most merciful rose above the throne. How was the rising above the throne? Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah became angry. He lowered his head, and when he raised his head up again, he said, "The istiwa is well known. The kaif is unknown. To believe it is an obligation, and to question it is an innovation." What does he mean when he says that it is known? It is known because, he said it is known because Allah, it is known in the Arabic language. He said when he says that it is the cave is not known because Allah Ta'ala has not explained that to us. When he says that to believe it is an obligation, why? Because Allah has commanded us with this affair to ask about it is a bid'ah, because the Sahaba did not ask about it. Rather, they yielded and submitted to what that which the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam has come with.
هذا فهو معطل جهمي من زعم غير هذا يعني خالف في أن النصوص هي الحاكمة في باب إثبات الأسماء والصفات فإنه معطل جهمي لأنه سلك خلاف المسلك الصحيح في إثبات الصفات فذهب إلى التعطيل ولماذا تذكر الجهمية أو كثير من العلماء يذكرون الجهمية يا إخوة مع ولا يذكرون ربما المعتزلة ذلك لأن مقالة الجهمية هي مقالة المعتزلة أي أن المعتزلة تأثروا بالجهمية فذكر الجهمية يغني عن ذكر أنواع المعطلة كلهم نعم
Thereafter, he mentions that whoever alleges other than this, then he is one who denies the sifat of Allah and a Jahmi. He says that, meaning that the denial the opposition to the text is that which caused a ruling to be implemented upon the person, because he has opposed the text in a particular issue, and he has opposed the correct methodology and path in this issue, and he has ended up in the affair of a ta'atil or negation of the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. Many of the other people of knowledge, you find that they mention the Jahmiyyah, however, they do not mention the Mu'tazila, because the Mu'tazila and the statement of the Jahmiyyah, their statement is one and the same, because they were affected by them. It says, it is all the affair of a ta'atil and negation of Allah Ta'ala's sifat.
أنهما أي المعطلة والممثلة وإن كان في جهتين متناقضتين إلا أن كل معطل ممثل وكل ممثل معطل وتفسير ذلك أن كل معطل ممثل لم يعطل إلا بعد أن وقع في نفسه أمر التمثيل فلجأ إلى تعطيل الصفة وكل ممثل معطل حينما مثل صفات الله جل وعلا بصفات خلقه فإنه عطل الصفة عن الواجب فيها من الإثبات لله جل وعلا نعم
And so what must be known is that every mu'attil is likewise a mumattil. Every mumattil is likewise a mu'attil, even though they are on the opposite ends of one another. The mumattil is the one who likens Allah's attributes to those of the creation, and the mu'attil is the one who negates them. Even though they are opposite of one another, you find that every mu'attil is a mumattil, and every mumattil is likewise a mu'attil. The meaning of this is that one does not arrive at rejection of the sifat of Allah as wajal until he first within himself likens them to the attributes of the creation, and then thereafter seeks to run away from this likening, and he ends up with a ta'til. And the meaning of every mu'attil is like every mu'attil is likewise a mu'attil, because when an individual likens the sifat of Allah to those of the creation, he has negated the correct implementation and application of the sifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he has taken them away from their correct understanding, and thus he has negated that.
ثم انتقل إلى مسألة أخرى قال وألا نقول كما قالت الخوارج من أصاب كبيرة فقد كفر الخوارج هم أول الفرق التي خرجت على هذه الأمة وأصلهم وأساسهم ذو الخويصرة التميمي الذي لم يقبل حكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج من ضئضئ هذا قوم تحقرون صلاتكم إلى صلاتهم وصيامكم إلى صيامهم يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الرمية نعم
So thereafter, the author transitions to speak about another issue, and it is the issue of the Khawarij. So he says that we do not say, as the Khawarij say, that whoever commits a major sin is disbelieved. Sheikh, he mentions that this speech is regarding the Khawarij, who are the first group to emerge within the Ummah. And the origin and the foundation of this group is Dhul Khwaisra at Tamim, that one who was not pleased and did not accept the ruling of the Prophet alayhi salam. So the Prophet said regarding him that from the loins of this man is going to come a people. Who they you belittle your recitation in relation to theirs. You belittle your prayer in relation to theirs. However, they should recite the Quran, but it will not go beyond their throats, and they will exit the religion like that of an arrow exiting the body of a game animal.
الخوارج في مخالفتهم لأمر الإيمان، تعريف الإيمان، وقد سبق معنا تعريف الإيمان عند أهل السنة والجماعة. والخوارج بسبب خللهم في أمر الإيمان فإنهم يكفرون مرتكب الكبيرة. لماذا؟ لأن الإيمان عندهم كل لا يتجزأ، إذا ذهب بعضه ذهب كله، إذا ذهب بعضه ذهب كله، فالإيمان عندهم لا يزيد ولا ينقص. لا يقولون كقول أهل السنة إن الإيمان يزيد وينقص، يخالفون في هذا الباب. نعم.
And like what you found in the Khawarij, they deviate in the issue of Iman. We already previously explained to you that the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in the issue of Iman is that Iman, a statement, action, and belief, it increases and decreases. However, due to the deviation of the Khawarij, they declare takfir of the individual who commits a major sin. This is because they believe that Iman is one solid entity and it is not any way partial. So therefore, if some of it goes, then all of it goes. And so therefore, they consider the individual who commits a major sin to be a disbeliever, and they hold that iman does not increase nor does it decrease.
الإيمان يفرقون بين الإيمان المطلق وبين مطلق الإيمان. حينما يتكلمون عن الإيمان المطلق يعنون به الإيمان الكامل. الله جل وعلا لما ذكر أهل الإيمان وذكر ما عندهم من الصفات والأعمال قال أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا. وأما مطلق الإيمان فهو أصله، وهذا يبقى مع فعل المعاصي. ولذلك الله جل وعلا قال وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا، طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا، حصلت منهم هذه المخالفة وهي أمر الاقتتال، ومع ذلك سماهم ماذا؟ مؤمنين. نعم.
So what must be known is that there's a difference between mutlaq al-iman wal-iman al-mutlaq. Mutlaq al-iman wal-iman al-mutlaq. When we say, al-iman al-mutlaq, what is intended by way of that is perfect and complete iman. As Allah Ta'ala, he mentions, when he mentions the characteristics of the believers and what they have with them of righteousness and goodness, that they are the true believers. He says, but then as it relates to the issue of mutlaq al-iman, this refers to the origin of iman and the foundation of it. And you'll find that this iman it still remains even if a person may commit a sin. Allah Ta'ala, he has mentioned inside of his book, there's two parties amongst the believers fall to fighting. So look how Allah Ta'ala respond, how he referred to them, even though they fell into this crime of fighting one another. Now Allah Ta'ala still referred to them as what? As believers.
إحدى مخالفات الخوارج، وإلا فإن الخوارج لهم مخالفات كثيرة، ويكفي من تاريخهم المليء بالحقد أنهم كفروا الصحابة وخرجوا على الصحابة وقاتلوهم. وإذا كان رأسهم وأولهم قد خرج على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن أتباعه إلى زماننا هذا هم الذين يخرجون على السنة في أمر التعامل مع ولاة الأمر، فينزعون يدا من طاعة ويخالفون أمر البيعة ويخرجون على حكامهم وأئمتهم، وينتج عن ذلك من الفساد الأمر العظيم، فيكونون بذلك سببا في إزهاق الأرواح وفي قتل الأنفس وفي دمار البلدان، وهم بذلك كله حينما خرجوا عن السنة وقعوا في هذه الضلالات. وإلى زماننا هذا، وإن قال قائل هل لا بد من أن يخالفوا في هذه العقيدة، يعني لا يقال عن الخارجي خارجي إلا إذا كفر بالكبيرة، قلنا لا يلزم ذلك، فإنه وإن قال بقول أهل السنة في الإيمان لكنه أخذ بصفة من صفة الخوارج المعروفة عند أهل العلم، فيكفي ذلك في تسميته بأنه خارجي. نعم.
Shaky mentions that, and as you mentioned, the Khawarij, they were the first group that have deviated in this Ummah. And they have, along with them, many deviations. They have many deviations. This is just one of them. He says, they have with them and enmity and hatred for the Sahaba. They fought against them and rebelled and killed some of them. He says, and even though the first of them rebelled against the Messenger of Allah, alayhi wasalam. However, their followers are like up until this time in which we live, they are on the same way in mentality. So you find them rebelling against the rulers. And they rebel against the rulers. They remove their hand from the tie of obedience to them, and they remove themselves from the pledge of allegiance to them and rebel against their leaders. And they bring about by way of that much corruption. He says, so you find amongst them that they kill innocent souls, and they spill the blood of the people, and they destroy buildings. And this is because when you oppose the sunnah, then these deviations are inevitable. They shall come along with that opposition. He says, so a person may say, for example, in this day and time, that if a person does not declare takfir due to a major sin, then you can't then call him a khawarij. You say, no, this is not true. It's not correct. Anyone who, if they bear any of the other signs of the khawarij, then they are joined along with him in that particular issue. So if they were to oppose Ahl Sunnah in the affair of Iman, then he had displayed a sign from the signs of the Khawarij, as they could declare, and this is one of their attributes and one of their indicating signs.
محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وحج البيت. من الأدلة يا إخوة أن الإنسان لا يكفر بفعل الكبائر، قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: شفاعتي لأهل الكبائر من أمتي. ما أعظم هذا الحديث، وما أحسن هذه الشريعة، وما أرحم الله جل وعلا بعباده المؤمنين المقصرين، فإنهم مع مخالفتهم يقول عنهم صلى الله عليه وسلم: شفاعتي لأهل الكبائر من أمتي. وإنما قال المصنف: إنما الكفر في ترك الخمس التي هي الشهادتان والصلاة والزكاة والصيام والحج. والمعنى إذا تركت جميع هذه الخمس فلا خلاف في كفر صاحبها. لو أن رجلا قال: أنا مسلم، وهو لم ينطق الشهادة ولا يصلي ولا يزكي ولا يصوم ولا يحج مع تيسره له، فاجتماع هذه الخمس هي المرادة من قول المصنف رحمه الله: إنما الكفر في ترك الخمس. نعم.
Well, the author, he mentions that the person is not declared to be a disbeliever based upon sins. Disbelief is only due to abandoning the five things which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in his statement. Islam is built upon five: the testimony that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, to the end of the hadith. So the Shaykh says that now, and this is from the beautiful signs and characteristic of this legislation, and the mercy and compassion that is the sign of the Deen of Islam. But the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he mentioned that indeed my intercession is for the people who commit major sins. So this is not as the Khawarij hold, that a person disbelieves on the account of major sins, but rather a person is still inside the fold of Islam, even if he may commit them. But the Shaykh says that, but if an individual, for example, were to abandon all five of those pillars of Islam, if he leaves all five of the pillars of Islam, then there's no khilaf between the scholars that he has disbelieved by way of that. So if a person says, for example, I am a Muslim, but he does not declare the testimony of faith, nor does he pray, nor does he fast, nor does he make hajj, nor does he pay zakat, he doesn't do any of those five, then he is a disbeliever. And this is what the author intends by way of his statement here.
ننبه إلى مسألة مهمة، وهو أن التكفير هذا الحكم هو حق لله جل وعلا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلا يجوز للإنسان أن يكفر مسلما، وليس على هذا الحكم أثرة من علم، سواء من كتاب الله جل وعلا أو من سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الأمر الآخر أن الذي يتولى بيان هذه الأمور من أمور التكفير هم أهل العلم الربانيون الذين يعرفون دلالات الألفاظ ويستقرئون النصوص ويعرفون الأمور المجمع عليها من المختلف فيها. أما أن يتصدر صغار طلبة العلم لمثل هذه المسائل فإن هذه مزلة أقدام وانحراف عن الجادة ودخول فيما لا يحسن الدخول فيه، بل هو افتئات على العلماء وجراءة في التصدر والتعالم. ولا ينبغي أن يظن بعض طلبة العلم أن عدم دخوله في مثل هذه المسائل هو من عدم نصرة الدين، بل إن سكوته عن هذه المسائل وعدم تصدره لها هو من الإحسان إلى نفسه أولاً، ومن الإحسان إلى عباد الله ثانياً، ومن سلوك الجادة التي أمرنا الله جل وعلا بها ثالثاً. لأن الله جل وعلا قال: وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به، ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم. نعم، هذه أطلنا. نعم.
Well, Sheikh, you mentioned that, so as it relates to this issue of takfir, this is an issue that is the right of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and His Messenger. So it's not permissible for a person to go and to make takfir of a Muslim. Rather, an individual must concern himself with having sound knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who are responsible for dealing with the likes of these issues are the people of knowledge. They are the ones who explain these issues, those people of knowledge who they are acquainted with the terminologies that are used, they are acquainted with the text, and they know about all of these affairs. They have cognizance and awareness of these affairs. They are the ones who should deal with it. As for small students of knowledge, delving into these issues, and this no doubt is a slip of the foot, it no doubt is a deviation from the correct path, it is entering into something which is not good to enter into. He says, hey, it is a type of boldness against the ulama. And likewise, it is a type of a blameworthy at the tasaddur, putting oneself forward to speak of these issues. Some of the people they believe in not entering into them, it is not aiding the deen. He says, but rather, what is correct is that to remain silent in these issues, and it is firstly goodness to yourself. Secondly, it is goodness to the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. Thirdly, you are traversing upon the path that Allah Ta'ala has commanded us with. Well, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned inside of his book, and amongst the people that are those who, when some matter reaches them of public safety and fear, they spread it amongst the people. That they only relegate the affair back to Allah and His Messenger. And those who are well grounded in knowledge, they could have investigated the issue and extracted the proper ruling from it. Allahu Ta'ala knows best.
ولا بد أن نعلم أن نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم حذرنا من الولوج في هذا الأمر بغير علم وحجة، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قال لأخيه يا كافر فقد باء بها أحدهما. فالأمر خطير، والخطب جليل، وأثر التكفير عظيم، ينبني على التكفير الإخراج من ملة الإسلام، وتتعلق به مسائل، تتعلق به مسائل في حياته، وتتعلق به مسائل بعد موت الشخص. فلذلك لا ينبغي طرق مثل هذه المسائل، ولا المسائل المتعلقة بها من طلبة العلم المبتدئين. تأتي بعض المسائل يا إخوة تحدث عند بعض طلبة العلم هيجان في البحث، مسائل متعلقة بالعذر بالجهل، مسائل متعلقة بجنس العمل، مسائل متعلقة به. والأولى به أن يتدرج في العلم، وأن يعرف مكانه، وأن يعرف موقعه، وأن يعرف الواجب عليه، وأن يعرف أن من المسائل ما لا يخوض فيه ولا يتحدث فيه إلا أهل العلم الأكابر. لكن للأسف، لأن العلم ثقيل ويحتاج إلى صبر وإلى طلب علم واجتهاد، والبعض لا يريد هذا، يريد أن يقفز مباشرة ويتصدر فيخوض في مسائل وهو ربما لم يضبط بعض أولويات المسائل ولم يفقه بعض البدهيات في علم الشريعة. نعم.
So Sheikh, you mentioned that so it must that we have knowledge and awareness of these issues, that we are cognizant, that we're cognizant of them, and they will not delve into this issue without knowledge. As the Prophet Muhammad, he has warned us against delving into this issue. For he has said, alayhi wasalam, whoever says to his brother, O kafir, then the statement comes back to one of them. No doubt this affair of takfir, it is a big deal. The affair of takfir, it is extremely dangerous because by way of it, we make rulings of a person having left the fold of Islam. And there are issues connected to that, issues that affect the person in his life and issues that will affect the person after his death. So therefore, it is a must that and we relegate these affairs to those who are to deal with it. He says, but we find that a person may come and he's a beginner student of knowledge and he seeks to delve into these issues that are above his head. And so some of the students of knowledge, they have not, they don't have a clear understanding of issues that are connected to it, such as the issue of al-udhu bil-jahl, being excused by ignorance, the issue of jins al-amal, and other than this. Rather, what is incumbent upon it is to be gradual in seeking knowledge and know what is obligatory upon you and know your level. He says, because this affair is something which should be dealt with by the kibar ulama. He says, but you find some of the people, they have with them love at tasaddur. They have يعني the sphere, or the sheikh mentioned rather, that knowledge is something heavy and it requires patience. But some of the people, they don't want that. He says rather what they want is to jump headlong into affairs of the deep and big affairs, and they want to put themselves forward. He says while many of them find that they have not studied the beginner stages of knowledge, and they have not entered even gained cognizance and awareness of the first affairs of knowledge, which are incumbent upon them to know before they seek to delve into bigger issues.
المصنف رحمه الله. فأما ثلاث منها فلا يناظر تاركه، من لم يتشهد ينطق الشهادتين ولم يصلي ولم يصم، لأنه لا يؤخر شيء من هذا عن وقته، ولا يجزئ من قضاه بعد تفريطه فيه عامدا عن وقته. هذه المسألة وهي متعلقة بالخمسة المباني يا إخوة. أولا لا بد أن نعلم أن من جحد واحدا من هذه الأركان والمباني خرج عن الإسلام، من جحد واحدا منها. نعم.
He mentions as for three of the five, then do not debate the one who abandons them. Whoever does not say the testimonies of faith, it does not pray, it does not fast, because none of these actions can be delayed from its proper time, and making these actions up will not take the place of the abandoned action after purposely neglecting it from its proper time. Sheikh mentions that we must know, Ayyulakhwa, that these five pillars of Islam, and we must know that whoever rejects a single one of them has left the fold of Islam. If you reject a single one of the five, he has left the fold of Islam.
زعم أنه دخل الإسلام وأبى أن ينطق بالشهادتين مع قدرته على ذلك، فإنه بالإجماع لا يكون مسلما.
So the Shaykh says, we must know that whoever claims to enter into Islam, but he does not articulate the two testimonies of faith, then by way of ijma, this person is not a Muslim. Or if consensus, he's not a Muslim. He has not articulated the two testimonies of faith while having the ability to do so.
أهل العلم يقوى في مسألة الصلاة، فإنهم بعد إجماعهم على أن من تركها جحودا أنه يكفر، اختلفوا في من تركها تكاسلا في قولين مشهورين معتبرين معروفين منذ سلف هذه الأمة إلى زماننا هذا. اختلف أهل العلماء أهل العلم في تارك الصلاة تهاونا، فمنهم من قال يكفر ومنهم من قال لا يكفر. نعم.
Moreover, the issue of the Salah, we must know that there's a strong difference of opinion between the people of knowledge regarding the individual who abandons the Salah. While they have unanimous agreement that the one who abandons it while rejecting its obligation is disbelief, their difference of opinion lies in the one who abandons the prayer out of laziness. And there are two well-known statements that are reputable and firmly established statements of the ulama in this issue from the time of the Salaf up until this time in which we live. The difference is still firmly fixed and in place. From amongst the scholars of those who say that the one who abandons the prayer out of laziness and indifference, he has disbelieved. And amongst them are those who say that he has not disbelieved if he abandons it out of laziness or indifference.
وهو أن كلام العلماء يا إخوة يفسر بعضه بعضا، ومعنى ذلك أنك إذا وقفت على عبارة ولم تفقه معنى هذه العبارة فارجع إلى كلام أهل العلم ممن يفسرون هذه العبارات ويوضحونها. وإن كان في المسألة إجماع فيجب عليك أن تحسن توجيه كلام العالم المحقق الذي هو على جادة أهل السنة، وإن كان خطأ فإن الخطأ يرد مع حفظ مكانته ومعرفة قدره وحفظ سابقته في العلم وفي الدين. وأما إن كان هذا الخطأ من أهل الضلال فإنه يرد عليهم خطأهم ولا كرامة لهم، لأن خطأهم إنما كان عن أصلهم الباطل الذي يسلكونه في أبواب الشريعة. فلا بد أن نعرف أن المسائل المجمع عليها لا يمكن أن يقع أو لا يقبل بعد ذلك فيها خلاف، كما أن المسائل الخلافية المشهورة لا يجوز فيها ادعاء الإجماع لأحد القولين.
Moreover, the Sheikh says it's an important issue that we must be cognizant of at the end of this lesson. He says that we know that the speech of the scholars Yani it's such that some of its speech explains others of it. Some speech of the scholars explains others of it. So therefore, yani if you come across a statement that is unclear to you, if you come across a statement that's unclear to you, then you refer back to the speech of the people of knowledge until it becomes clear to you and you understand the issue. And if ijma is claimed regarding a particular issue, do you seek the tawjih, you seek the advice of the scholars in this issue? And if it becomes to you clear, if it becomes clear to you that a scholar who you sought tawjih from him, that he's upon the correct path and he's upon the sound knowledge and the likes of this, if it becomes clear to you that he has erred, he's made a mistake, then the error is to be rebutted while you maintain his honor and you maintain his dignity, and he maintains his level and status that he had prior to the error. But if that same error were to happen from somebody who's from the people of misguidance, then the error is rebutted, and likewise, this person has no dignity and honor with us. This is because his error has emanated from the false foundation that he's upon. And it is not for anyone to claim ijma in an issue wherein there is a well-known difference of opinion between the scholars regarding. So if there's ijma upon the issue, if someone claims ijma on the issue wherein there's a well-known khilaf about it, then that ijma is not accepted, or the claim to the ijma rather is not accepted.
نلقاكم في الغد بإذن الله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والحمد لله رب العالمين. بارك
Sheikh, you
الله
mentioned
فيكم.
let's close the lesson for today. We will include what's retired tomorrow. بإذن الله تعالى, Allah knows best. He ended singing the salamat and the salawat upon the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions all together.